battling it along the far wing. Ovechkin's on the ice here, chasing after it. Will he get there for a chance? He might. A backhander. He scores! Alex Ovechkin into the empty net. And that will delight the masses here as the Capitals have a 6-3 lead. And Alex Ovechkin scoring his 50th career goal against the Philadelphia Flyers. And goal 855. Capitals going to take down Philadelphia.
All right, that is John Walton, right? Not right here, but on 106.7 The Fan and the Capitals Radio Network and Odyssey last night at Capital One Arena as Alex Ovechkin does it again. The empty netter, those always help, but this wasn't your traditional empty netter. This was a hard-working empty netter to put the ice cap, if you will, on a 6-3 Capitals win last night against the Philadelphia Flyers. Give Dylan Strome his sixth assist of the year, as you just heard John describe. Ovechkin had to win a race along the boards and then backhand it at a kind of a weird angle. So you're going to give him a little bit of a... I'm going to give him a little bit of a credit pie here because normally empty netters are generally easy, but this one was a little bit more difficult as he scores his second goal of the year, and it is Alex Ovechkin's chase of 855. He has 855 now of 895, I should say. That's the number that I was thinking about in my head. 40 now away is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. So, again,
lovely.
Ovechkin now with 855 career goals. He needs 895, 894 is to tie Wayne Gretzky. More importantly, the Capitals have now won five in a row after a dreadful season opener. They've now won five in a row, and sure, the Flyers are not good. I get it. I understand. But they beat a couple of undefeated teams last week in the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights, sandwiched around an overtime win against the Jersey Devils. But yeah, anytime you get Alex Ovechkin to score a goal, empty net, or anything in between. He's had a couple of weirdies so far this year. But now two goals in his last three games. And again, still stuck on 700 assists, but Alex Ovechkin getting the job done. So congratulations to him. How about Connor McMichael, my guy, who's been on the show a couple of times with two goals last night for the Washington Capitals, again, in the 6-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers with a day off today.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What in your mind is the biggest reason for the uptick offensively for this group?
Well, they're better. They added to the group. Pierre-Luc Dubois has come over. McMichael is a year more into his career and developed a lot of confidence. Nick Doubt has been amazing. Nicky shorthanded Doubt on Tuesday night, not shorthanded last night on a little break-in. I mean, they're getting it from everywhere. Tom Wilson obviously has five goals. Now he's gone two games without a goal, but Dubois got his first goal last night. Taylor Radish has been really good. They're getting it from a lot of different sources. This is not just, oh, it's Alex Ovechkin carrying the load like he did for the most part down the stretch last year when he was virtually unstoppable. They are getting it from a lot of different areas of their team, all different lines contributing. And I think also, you know, again, give credit to Chris Patrick, the new GM, and Brian McClellan, the former GM, and obviously Spencer Carberry now in year two development, getting the right guys, again, bringing in different guys, understanding that, hey, you know what, we're going to swing a big stick here for Pierre-Luc Dubois. And it hasn't worked out for him in a couple of other spots, but man, if we get it right, we've got a 26-year-old bull. And also, Alexei Protas, I want to just say he's been great killing penalties. The defense has been scoring. Chychrun has been great. Carlson's been great. Rasmus Sandin was a +4 last night, who we had on the show a week and a half ago. So all of that good. All right, we got word in that What are we looking at? About 3:30 or so for Olamide de Zaccheaus? Okay, so probably right around 3:30, a little bit after 3:30 on that. Sorry, guys. These schedules, players, fluid. They've got meetings. They've got showers. They've got other media availability. So we're working. Well, yeah. Joe. We're working hard to bring you. We were supposed to have Nick Allegretti on. It got switched to Olamide de Zaccheaus. And he's been a nice contributing factor for the Washington Commanders so far. So I just want to make sure that we are being transparent and as clear as we can. You want to get a couple of calls in here?
Only the smart ones.
Well, you know, I mean, we'll try. Let's go to Cliff in D.C. What's up, Cliff? Oh, how are you?
Cliff?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Cliff
DeGroote. What's going on? I'm going to say the Wizards not expected to win nothing this season anyway. So they're going to win between 20 and 25 games. And Commanders, I heard something that Kevin Sheehan was saying today, but I don't know if it was rumors that he was saying or was he saying actual facts. I heard him mention that Adam Peters may make a move to try to bring a certain pass rusher back to Washington because they need a pass rush.
Well, who was the name? I didn't hear this.
Who's the name?
Yeah.
What the name of
the name of the player. I don't know who you're. Are you talking about Montez Sweat or Chase Young?
No, number 99.
Oh, Chase Young.
Chase Young.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know anything about that. I would say this. I don't think Kevin was reporting anything like that as fact, maybe speculation, what have you, or maybe a possibility.
I don't think any part of it was fact.
But I would also say this. Adam Peters was with Chase Young in San Francisco after the trade last year, and Chase Young did have a really good first half of the Super Bowl. Adam Peters was gone by that point, but, I mean, he's semi-familiar with Chase Young, and New Orleans right now is taking on a lot of water.
I know, and they suck because of injuries.
Well, they do suck because of injuries, although we're not allowed to say that on this show. They only suck because their play calling is bad, Cliff. That's why.
Oh. I did.
Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate it. Let's get to Lou.
What
were you going to say?
Nothing.
You would love Chase Young back, right? Wait a second. You're anti Chase Young now because
you're a joke.
Daddy called in on the radio or what? What's the deal? No, you're back on the cliff on the Chase Young bandwagon, right?
I mean, I just like guys that produce numbers, and Chase Young statistically is having a pretty
yeah he
year.
Is yeah. What are his numbers that he's produced?
I'm a big QB pressures guy.
Uh huh. How many QB pressures he has?
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth in the NFL in pressures.
Is that via PFF or?
No, this is NFL Pro.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fifth in the NFL in pressures.
Yeah, I mean, Chase, listen.
Despite playing significantly less snaps than a guy like a Trey Hendrickson or
Burns. If you told me, right, Chase signed a one-year contract with New Orleans, mm-hmm. right? If you told me that you could get Chase Young back here and you don't have to do anything contractually and you could add him to the mix with this coaching staff, I would be willing to do that. I mean, I don't think it was going to work with the injury, with the previous coaching. It wasn't working before the injury, and then it only got worse after that. And he had some moments last year. I mean, I remember that Thursday night game against the Bears, there was one player on defense that showed up. One. And that was Chase Young. And I routinely pointed that out and, you know, what have you. Now, that was in a blowout, but there was one player that showed up and earned his paycheck that night, and that was Chase Young. All right, let's get to Lou real quickly here. What up, Lou? How are you?
Hello, Lou.
Could be better, man. What's going on, man?
Shaking, Lou.
Big Al, what's going on, man?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, man, I was on hold on that phone yesterday. I wanted to get on there and shut this whole narrative about you guys, especially Chris, man. You know I love you. You my guy. But, you know, this notion of, you know, you want the answer from this coach. You know, he lied to you and this
I
and
I didn't
that,
say he lied to me. You did not say he lied to me.
He said he lied
to me. But I'm saying you had Ron Rivera here for like 4 years.
Yeah.
You never demanded any type of stuff from him. you let them go by, whatever. So I just don't understand. I mean, what's the what does it do any good for you if he had, like, gave you, like, the actual, all right, he had a broken rib or whatever the question was.
Do you remember who was the only person 3 weeks before they acquired Carson Wentz who screamed on the radio, the last person alive on planet Earth that I would want here is Carson Wentz, and I had to kill Ron Rivera every day for that move? Oh, do you remember that? Or do you not remember that? I mean, like, that's not fair. Like, when you say I let, you know, Ron Rivera skate by and didn't demand accountability, I crushed him for his, arguably his biggest move as the Commanders head coach and general manager.
But Chris, but you know, I get it. It was, the environment was different, the owners, the blah, blah, blah. It's a different right now. It's totally, it's upside down 360, man.
Okay.
Just the way we want it. And the fact that you wanted, that answer that you was looking for, I mean, what does it do any good for you?
It does a lot of good, Lou. It does a lot of good because then I can go to medical experts and say, hey, man, if a player has a cracked rib or a hairline fracture in his rib, what is reasonable to expect? I can tap into resources that I can't tap into because nobody knows exactly what's going on. And you're right. They have a right to protect whatever information they have. That's their right. I have a right to say, hey, you know what? I wish we had that information. I'm disappointed that we don't have that information. He was given a chance to clarify that information and they refused to do so. That's all it is. It's just a difference of opinion. That's all.
But Chris, it's all, sometimes you can use your common sense, to use your two cents and say, all right, one and one goes, it's two. So, just they playing a gladiator sport. So you expect something. The guy took, when I looked at some of the pictures, like, on Twitter, I mean, he literally landed on something, it's weird, man. So, I want this guy to be healthy. I want him to take time off for whatever, two
You
weeks,
want him to be 110%
weeks.
Healthy and for nobody to ask any questions, right?
I want him to be on that first snap that he got that past Sunday. When he snapped the first snap, he's not, we don't know, it's football. Nobody's going
to
be 100%.
Do you want him to be that in that first snap against Chicago, the Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Eagles? What are we talking about here?
No, I'm just saying, the way he took that first snap and he got hurt right before that, I want him to be in that, if he felt like that, and then I don't mind him coming back and play.
I appreciate the phone call, Lou. I don't mind that you disagree. I'm a big fan of getting as much information as we can. That's what I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of trying to provide as much information, as much context, as many opinions, as much of a forum as we possibly can on this show. Some people hate the show. Some people don't like the show. Some people really like the show. That's on you. But I'm not going to apologize for asking questions or for wanting more or for wanting to be more educated or to bring you better insight. I don't know everything. I never claim to know everything. And clearly, I and we have no further information besides rib injury other than reports from somebody, we don't know who, that have been circulated that it's not a broken rib or a fractured rib. That's all we have. 301-230-0980. We'll come back. Again, Alameda Zacchaeus is expected to join us right around the bottom of the hour, so stay tuned for that. We'll try and squeeze in another call or two. We still have a little cleanup on aisle three action and dum-dum of the day on the way before 4 o'clock. Greg Hoffman at Capital One Arena for the Wizards season opener on the Team 980. You're going to go far, kid? That's an interesting... song to bounce back with. That's an interesting song to bounce back with, Matty. I would just say that. 321 on the Team 980. Alameda Zacchaeus is going to join us at some point coming up here before the end of the show. That's what we're being told. The Commanders schedules, player schedules with meetings and all that stuff, very fluid. So just stay tuned and we will Hopefully get that aboard for you before 4 o'clock when Craig takes over from Capital One Arena. Again, Wizards season opener tonight right here on the Team 980. And most Wizards games are going to be on the Team 980 throughout the year, as they have for the last couple of years. Hopefully they win more than 15 games. Hopefully. That's kind of important to the fans and the consumers and the people that measure this kind of stuff. But neither here nor there. If you missed a lot of our Wizards conversation, 2 o'clock hour, good hour to podcast, sprinkled it all in around in terms of the defensive identity and so on and so forth. Before we run out of time.
What now? What do you, what?
I wanted to get.
It was a joke.
A Thursday night football preview in with you, right?
Good grace. The worst Thursday night game in America. Tell everyone to come see me tonight. Tell everyone to do that. I mean, the worst Thursday night game.
Well,
good gracious. The worst Thursday night game.
The Rams are irrelevant.
So irrelevant. The only reason they're relevant is because they're handsome head coach and their cool wide receiver duo. Other than that, who cares about the LA Rams?
I mean, they're 2-4. Not very good. No, they're one half game behind the San Francisco 49ers.
And who
are 3-4.
I don't care about.
Are the 49ers irrelevant too?
Yes. The only team you should be talking about in that division is Geno Smith's boys.
Right. Who had lost 3 games in a row before last week, right?
Yes, but they beat the hell out of the Falcons.
Yeah.
So.
Right. That's so impressive. Now all of a sudden they're relevant because they're not 3-3. They're 4-3, so that makes them relevant.
Well, they've been relevant all year, in my opinion, because I continue to say Geno Smith's playing as good a quarterback as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, and
with its leading.
And their defense.
With his league-leading 2,000 yards passing.
Right. And their defense.
With his 10th best QBR. It's not about the defense.
And they lost
sucking.
To the Giants home, a team that you have absolutely no respect for.
Teams have letdown performances.
Yeah, I will say that. Just wanted to
think about
just
Seattle
check.
And their defense. Since you want to discredit everything that they have going on, it's kind of you expect some steps back defensively when you are implementing an entirely new scheme.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they have talent defensively.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talent on defense.
I know.
They're just struggling right now with the scheme. And they're injured as anybody in the NFL.
Oh, injuries matter? I didn't realize that.
I mean, you're...
Oh, okay. I didn't know we can now judge teams good or bad based on injuries. I forgot that.
Speaking of the Thursday night game, both of you guys, remember to get your picks in.
Yes.
Why don't we start doing our picks live on the air instead of previewing Seattle? And I mean, who plays tonight? The Rams and the
Los Angeles Rams and the Minnesota Vikings, who are 5-1. Where did they rank in your power rankings?
They were number 6 in my power.
They were number six. Okay. So. The Minnesota Vikings coming off of their first loss of the year. They're 5-1 overall. They're 3-1 in the conference. They lost at home to Detroit. Okay, I didn't see a lot of that game because obviously I was playing. But Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome. I mean, he juked out one of their linebackers in space. Jared Goff is obviously playing at a tremendous level. So I don't look at the Minnesota Vikings as, no, here we go. In a lot of trouble. Now, short week, they got to travel out to Los Angeles. Not that that's an intimidating environment by any stretch of the imagination.
They're in the driver's seat to get the one seed in the NFC.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Are they?
The schedule is
when you look
soft
at Detroit.
The schedule.
Well,
they're
going to
beat the Rams. They're going to beat the Colts. They're going to beat Jacksonville. They'll beat Tennessee. Chicago will give them a run for their money. They'll blitz the hell out of Kyler. They'll blitz the hell out of immobile Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe they split with the Bears. Then they got Seattle, Green Bay, Detroit. Like, their division games are their toughest games remaining on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is and this is why they're not in the driver's seat, in my opinion. When you come from that division and you have to deal with the teams
Detroit's
that you have to deal with,
division games are stiffer than theirs.
Well, they should be because they were
right.
They
Detroit's got Buffalo,
higher,
Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, Buffalo, San Francisco.
Yeah. But they play on a tougher
Houston.
Schedule because of the NFL's scheduling policy. But we all know that games on paper that may look a certain way, even in late October, aren't always that way when you get to mid-December or late December or early December or whatever. I mean, things change, what have you. I understand what you're saying. I would just say this. I don't know if anybody's in the driver's seat, Minnesota included, Detroit included, Green Bay. When the last place team, the team that the Commanders are playing this week, are 4-2, and granted, they didn't start off great. I understand that. There was some rocky moments in a bunch of different ways. They were 1-2, what have you. But they've now won 3. When they are 4-2 and in last place, that tells you something about the competition that both Minnesota and, as a byproduct, Detroit have to go. But tonight you are convinced that Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell, the former offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, which led to him getting the head coaching job in Minnesota. This is now year 3 for KOC. I believe it's year 3 as Vikings head coach. So you have no doubt that the Vikings are going to go in there on a short week travel and kick their ass. No problem thinking that.
Yeah, brother. I think that the old Minnesota's, the Vikings, they, you know, seemingly like routinely kick the ass of the Brian Flores, at least owns the Shanahan tree. So He has done well against the Shanahan tree.
Yeah,
so
he has done well against them. There's no doubt.
And Sean's just another victim tonight.
So, I mean, I would take that to mean heavy blitz attack against Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, who can't move.
Right. Right. I mean, Kyren Williams has been great for Los Angeles. They're getting Cooper Kupp back, right? So that's something that's going to help them. Still no Puka Nacua, but they have Tutu Atwell. They have Kyren Williams. Stafford, when he's on, he can, you know, hopefully, I mean, assume they'll blitz him heavy. That's a good Rams defense. It's not a Rams defense that I would consider to be stud-like. By the way, did you see your guy that you wanted to pay $22 million a year to, Cam Curl, had a 33-yard fumble return for a touchdown? Remember him?
No.
You don't remember him? You remember that day that we had that discussion? Uh-huh. Very passionate discussion.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best Chris Russell. I'm going to forget.
When Greg Curl was out there on social media telling everybody how his son deserved $20-plus million a year, and you fell for it hook, line, and sinker, and I told you, well, listen.
What did Paulie just tweet at you? Because you're ridiculous.
$5 million a year contract?
Russell, at WrestleMania 621, the king of revisionist history. Mm-hmm. You love going back, you are reminiscing Russell. That's all you do is go. I said this, and I back then.
I'm just pointing out facts.
Well, you're so hell-bent on being right all the time, and the whole thing is, we need to start doing this show first take style. Around the horn style, because if we were like giving points out for who makes more sense during the program, you get your ass kicked on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Don't let Austin and Annapolis's rude tweets inflate your ego. How about that?
You need a tag team partner? Would you like...
Tag team partner, brother from another mother, whatever you want to call
him. Would you like some help?
I guess down with the 757.
Okay, well, Paulie's here to help you out.
What up, P?
Hell to the W, man. What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother?
You know what I mean? I feel your pain over there, man.
Brother, I'm hurting.
What's good, bro? What's good, bro?
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy. What you call him, bro?
Yeah,
the other guy.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, no, I'm gonna call him Chris today, like my man Joe in D.C. Shout out Joe in D.C. What's up, bro? Hey, bro. What you can't be doing is calling your consumers dumbasses and telling them to go to hell, bro. I'm gonna tell you what. Joe and Lou Wright, man. You was neurotic yesterday, man.
Yeah, he was on
one. You was being spoiled. You was being privileged. All because of the fact that you wasn't privy to Jaden Daniels' medical information.
Yeah.
You let that carry you to a neurotic state for 3 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
Bro.
Bro.
All right? Bro, it was bipolar radio for real with you yesterday, bro.
You got to break out a bra on me, too?
I'm going to tell you another thing, Mr. Revisionist History King. All right? Now, you're right. Linnell did say 22 because I got on him, too. But remember, this was before free agency, number one. Nobody would have known that safety market,
was going to play out. Thank you.
I knew.
It dropped. No safety really got paid last year. This was before all that. Two, every Commander fan in D.C., every guy on the radio, on both stations, all three, any sports station, nobody wanted Carson Wentz. don't sit here and stand on your soapbox like, I was the only guy.
I was 3 weeks before they made that trade.
Paulie, because I'm such an honest radio host, I ain't gonna lie. I thought Carson Wentz was gonna come in and do well. Then I got to watch him in practice. Paulie. That was my introduction to NFL football in person.
2 years before the trade.
Okay.
When he first was on the trade market with Philly, B. Mitchell JP had it on his show and nobody wanted it.
Okay.
And again, he did it the very next day. Nobody. Hold on, let me go.
No. We got to run because we got to take the time out for Alameda Zacchaeus. You did your bro thing too long, and now you're getting run. Thank you. Time for a quick trending alert right here, right now. And then Alameda Zacchaeus expected to join us on the showgram. All right, we mentioned Thursday Night Football. You can listen to it on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app via Westwood 1, 8:15 kickoff, 7:30 pregame. It is Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams off of that win over the Las Vegas Raiders against the Minnesota Vikings and Kevin O'Connell. Lots of ex-Washington flavor. The Vikes off their first loss of the year. Again, listen to it, 106.7 The Fan. Meanwhile, here on the Team 980, we have the Wizards season opener, 6:45 the pre, 7-ish for the tip from Capital One Arena. Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock to do his show from C1A to get you ready for the Wizards and the defending world champion Boston Celtics. And from Commanders practice, no Brandon Coleman, but more importantly, the bigger news, Jaden Daniels, none of him either on a Thursday, but the hope, the expectation, the plan, according to Adam Schefter and Mike Garafolo, in individual reports, is for Jaden Daniels to try and practice on Friday. And that's what's trending. All right, we are back with you, 3:35 on the Team 980. So as we await Alameda Zacchaeus, who is expected to give us a call here any moment before the end of the show, I'm being told. So just stay tuned for that. What we wanted to do, Matt, if you're ready, I guess what we can do is kind of push ahead our normally scheduled stuff with cleanup on aisle three, and then we can break out of that. For Zacchaeus, who we will have for a couple of minutes here. I know they have some meetings coming up at 4 o'clock, so we will. Looks like we will definitely get him in. So why don't we push ahead the regular portion of the show, a little cleanup on aisle three. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, so nobody cares about anybody's fantasy roster, but in 1 week, I lost Brandon Ayuk to a torn ACL. I lost Chris Godwin for the rest of the year, and Jameson Williams, who's still on my fantasy roster, is about to get suspended for 2 games, but nobody cares about that. However, you should care what impact that has on the Detroit Lions, who we were just talking about. He's going to be suspended again for a reported 2 games. Looks like that will kick in this weekend. He won't appeal the league's decision. However, in a statement he released, he said, quote, "The news came as a complete surprise that I am still trying to understand." Now, it's 2 games, not 6 games, which is the normal PED. Like a Commander player, corner, right? I forgot the guy's name. Kayvon, whatever his name
Seymour.
Is. Got suspended for 6 games for a PED violation. Jameson Williams is being suspended for 2 games. Now, it's not his first suspension, but the other one was for a violation of the gambling policy. So 2 games represents something way different than what the normal and traditional suspension was. And he's saying, quote, "I don't take supplements or vitamins, and I am overly cautious about even taking over-the-counter medicine. At no time have I ever taken something in an attempt to cheat or look for an unfair advantage." So in lieu of not having the exact information, because I don't think the exact information has been reported in terms of what the actual substance was, should we feel bad for Jameson Williams?
No. Why would I feel bad for him?
Well, because he's saying, I mean,
all the right things, the thing that everyone says when they get popped.
Of course, but he okay, just again to draw the line.
Yes.
Which is why I said what I said. Normally, guys get suspended for 6 games. And we had a recent example of that this here in Washington. He's only getting suspended for 2. So why do we think there's a difference? It's not first time, second time.
May have been the substance that was found.
Well, of course. But the question becomes what is that? And what could it be? You know, like, could it be, I don't know, an inhaler? Or could it be something, a sore throat spray? You know, something for allergies. You know, and if that's the case, yeah, I do feel bad for the guy.
I have a cleanup on aisle 3 topic real quick.
Please do.
The number one.
Being that you didn't like that one.
It's not that I didn't like it. The number one quarterback, or the number one player, I'm sorry, in the class of 2026, Julian Lewis, the quarterback, USC commit, visiting Colorado this weekend. So Coach Prime and company seem as if, you don't visit Colorado and not commit.
Well, maybe he's seen Lincoln Riley and USC play the last couple of weeks.
Now he's visiting old Deion. If Deion lands another elite quarterback, that may be the only thing to get him to stay there. That's the one thing I keep saying that will get him to leave, is if he doesn't have a quarterback. Because, you know, Deion knows nothing about offense.
Well, where's Deion going to go if he leaves? That is
another Power 5 school.
Well, right, but that is super attractive for him.
Florida State.
Got a $65 million buyout on Mike Norvell.
We thought buyouts don't matter. Did you see the Calipari buyout that Kentucky did?
Yeah, but it wasn't $65
million. USC's got money, though, man. They'll find it.
You're talking about Florida State.
Florida State, I'm sorry. Yes.
Well, that would, the logical spot. We had Brett McMurphy on from the Action Network, and he pretty much all but dismissed it. Not only that, but again, Mike Norvell is 1 year removed from an undefeated season. They got screwed last year.
But come on.
They've had a horrible year this year.
His stupid, idiotic decision to go after DJU in the portal, I mean, was the most dumb thing.
It's not like good quarterbacks grow on trees.
I would rather, man, develop your own guy, Mike Norvell. How about that?
There's problems with that, too. You know?
Go recruit and develop your own guy.
There's problems with that, as well. All right, one last one. Mm-hmm. James Franklin met with the media.
Oh, God, that idiot.
I mean, I wouldn't exactly call him an idiot. He's won a lot of games at Penn State. But, of course, there was a problem over the offseason. A couple of former now players for the Nittany Lions charged with felony rape, aggravated assault, what have you. So it was 2 different players, right? And they were arraigned and, going through the legal process. And James Franklin got up to the microphone and said, "Hey, guys." And he was all chipper. And he basically said, "Go ahead." And immediately a reporter launched into a question about and related to the charges. And he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He stormed off the podium and the dais. And then it was left for a couple of media representatives to clean up, saying, "Hey, if you have any, if you need a statement, you can contact me or Chris." So the question is as the face of Penn State, does James Franklin have any responsibility to actually, answering questions or being somewhat accountable?
110%. James Franklin is the leader of one of the most underachieving programs over the last 5 years. I remember when James Franklin first took the job at Penn State. It's a powerhouse high school in my area when I was in high school, Quince Orchard. And the big thing was, Dabo landed his helicopter at QO. Oh, James Franklin landed his helicopter at QO. I strongly dislike James Franklin because he has this innate ability to suck all of the local talent out of this area and get them up at Penn State. And it annoys the hell out of me.
Well, he coached at Maryland, so he knows the area very well.
Yes, but
Penn State is still considered a regional powerhouse in this area.
We are the hotbed for talent in the high school level, for basketball.
But this isn't about football recruiting. This is about, should he be accountable?
I answered
or
yes.
Should he?
I answered yes because it was a pretty obvious answer. He's the face of the program. Okay. Yes, you should be accountable.
I mean, a lot of people feel like a statement is good enough.
No.
You know,
not when you have the opportunity to answer questions.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, that is Clean Up on Aisle 3 right here.
Clean Up on Aisle 3.
You hate that woman.
On a Throwdown Thursday, I always step all over her, and I don't know why.
You should come back with it.
All right. It looks like Alameda Zacchaeus is calling in now, Matt. So we'll just reverse the break, and we'll talk to Alameda for a couple of minutes, OZ, and we'll do that right here and right now. And this way he can get back to his meetings at Command. Commander's Park in Ashburn. So he's nice enough to join us right here and right now as soon as Maddie gets him all straightened out on the phone there. So we appreciate him coming aboard with us. And he's played an interesting role. All right, we're ready to go. Well, hang on a second. We got to punch him up. Alameda Zacchaeus is joining us right now from Commander's Park in Ashburn in advance of the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. Alameda, it's Chris Russell and Linnell Willingham, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
We're doing great. We appreciate you making some time for us. I know you've got a very busy schedule, so we appreciate you guys squeezing us in. I guess what I would first ask before we get to the Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota stuff is you guys are 5-2. Obviously, nothing is easy, but you guys took care of business effectively against the Carolina Panthers. What's the mood? What's the feel like right now? Is it one of satisfaction, or is it one of still, hey man, we still have a ton of work to do and we haven't really done a whole lot yet?
Yeah, I would say it's just continued grind of just getting better, you know, each day. That's one thing we always preach, no matter what week it is or who we're playing, that we want to just, you know, have the same mindset going into practice, going into each day, going into each game, and get better from the previous day, the previous game.
Ozzy, what's going on, brothers? Linnell Willingham here. So Marcus Mariota potentially getting the start this weekend, got to play a significant chunk last week. You were his teammate prior in Atlanta. Anything you've noticed from him as a man or as a player from then to now?
Oh, man. I was saying it, you know, to somebody yesterday, but he's one of the best teammates I've ever had, you know, throughout my career, just playing football. And just the type of person that he is. He's super humble. Just how he approaches each day. You know, nothing ever changes, no matter the circumstances, you know, whatever is going
on. Did we lose?
And, he's just a really good teammate, really good guy.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Alameda, because, you know, the book on him was, you know, he had a rough moment in Atlanta, whatever, and people made a big deal out of that. But everybody that I've talked to has said, again, great leader, great, you know, great teammate, great guy to have around. But from a football perspective, he came in, and I know the first series or two were a little helter-skelter on Sunday, but he hadn't taken a lot of practice reps, right, because of the injuries and because of the way the NFL calendar works. But once he got a little oil running through the engine, it did. Didn't seem like you guys skipped a beat. Did it feel that way playing the game on Sunday?
No, it felt normal, felt natural. I think Marcus does a good job of finding a way to prepare, you know, be prepared, you know, throughout the week. You know, it just shows. And, you know, at the end of the day, it just comes down to executing the game plan, you know, at hand. And whoever's in there, you know, we're just trying to execute our game plan that we put in all week.
Ozzy, man, I'm a big fan of your story, man, and your football journey. The opportunities that you've carved out for yourself since leaving UVA, being an undersized wide receiver, I think you play the game super hard. But one thing that I always tell folks, man, is your high school football background plays such a huge part in shaping the mentality that you play with. How did your time at St. Joe's, brother, mold you into the football player that you are right now?
Man, has a huge part in what who I am, not only as a football player but as a person as well. You know, Coach Infante, Gabe Infante, the high school coach there, did a tremendous job of like just hounding in certain principles of how to go about life that carry over to the field. And you know, it's just something that I still live by to this day. And I know there are certain people, certain players in the league that, you know, came through St. Joe's, yep, that can attest to that as well.
Lamine Zaccheaus with us of the Washington Commanders as they get ready for the Chicago Bears this Sunday at 4:25. OC, I wanted to ask you this a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the Cleveland game, if memory serves me correct. You famously, I mean, we made a big deal out of it, chased down a loose football from Austin Eckler on a fumble. And I know when I talked to Austin in the locker room after the game, he immediately gave you credit. And then the tape showed something I don't know if I've ever seen. I mean, you must have run 55, 60 yards full sprint to cover a ball, and you were all the way on the other end of the field. Man, I've never seen anybody make a play like that. Like, were you even surprised when you went back and watched it on tape? And I assume your teammates, besides Austin Eckler, loved it and gave you plenty of praise for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – I've, like I said, you know, my time throughout high school and even college has kind of shaped me to mm-hmm. who I am. And, you know, there are times where, you know, just throughout my football career, that, you know, you look back on the film and had somebody been running after the ball or just mm-hmm. chasing the ball, that, you know, you would have, you know, recovered the fumble or just been in a position to, you know, just make a play on the ball or just in so many different aspects on defense, offense, special teams, stuff like that. So it's not surprising. You know, I think if you watch my film, you know, that's just who I am. It's just how I'm wired and it's how this team is wired. And, you know, I wasn't the only one running to the ball on that play.
That's true.
I just so happened to recover the fumble. You know, Terry's down there in a block. Luke is right there. You know, I'm running. We have tight ends running, O-line chasing the ball. You know, this is just the DNA of the team. But, you know, I think for me, it's always been that because I've seen throughout my career how important that is. And all it takes is one time, you know. So I take that lightly. And the whole team doesn't.
They always say a football man, look. Well, damn, how'd my mic get turned off?
I don't know.
They say in football all the time, brother, you look good, you play good. You've been in Atlanta, decent uniform combinations. You've been in Philadelphia, decent uniform combinations. This black that y'all pulling out Sunday, brother, what is it rank?
It's top two.
It's hard, bro, two. I know.
It's top two, not two. Man, I'm just a player here, you know. But my opinion, you know, we need to break them out a little bit more often.
Yeah,
but hey,
look.
You know, that's just my two cents.
I mean, I think it'll look really good once the house lights will be on, but especially once the sun sets, right, which it does a little bit earlier this time. So it'll shine real nice. And hopefully you guys will against the Chicago Bears. This is a tough defense that you guys are going against. Every defense, everybody gets a paycheck, all that stuff. But we know the difference. What is the biggest challenge for you guys? You know, all things considered, and ultimately, does it matter whether it's Jaden or Marcus under center, or are you just doing your thing?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to protecting the ball, and then, like I always say, just executing the game plan, the things that we practice, and then, protecting the ball, execution and turnovers. I think that'll play a big part in the in the game this Sunday.
Somebody doing something over there?
Who messing with you back then?
That's Louvu.
Yeah. My tribal chief.
He's fun to watch, and you've been fun to watch too. I know you got meetings coming up. It's been great to have you around here. And obviously, you're familiar with DQ and Brian Johnson last year, and Marcus, and so on and so forth. So you're new to us, but we appreciate you making some time for us. I know you guys have some meetings. Good luck this Sunday. Thanks for doing this. Okay.
Of course. I appreciate you guys.
There you go. OZ. That is Lamine Zaccheaus, OZ, joining us here. Thanks to Sam at Commanders PR for making sure that happened for us. Before we turn the house lights off, we have to do a quick yes, no, we don't have time. Okay, we didn't have time. Dum-dum of the day, we'll have to kind of wait until tomorrow. Appreciate Alameda Zacchaeus for joining us. Appreciate all of you for listening and yelling at us and calling. Craig Hoffman coming up next from Capital One Arena to get the Wizard season underway against the Boston Celtics. You can hear it tonight at 6:45. For Linnell Willingham, for Matt on the other side of the glass, I am the Old Rooster. Back tomorrow at 1 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.